Hello and welcome to another edition of Flat Baroque. I'm your host, Dinah Jansen. Today we'll listen to Gaetano Donizetti's Anna Bolena, the second opera in Donizetti's collection of four dealing with the Tudor period in England. Anna Bolena is a two-act composition accompanying an Italian libretto written by Felice Romani. Premiering in 1830 at Milan's Teatro Carcano, Anna Bolena has a comparatively small cast, including Anna Bolena, written for a soprano, husband Enrico, or Henry VIII, Giovanna Seymour, or Jane Seymour, Anna's lady-in-waiting, Lord Rochford, Anna's brother, Ricardo Percy, the 6th Earl of Northumberland, Mark Smeaton, a musician, Hervey, a court official, amongst a cast of courtiers, soldiers, and huntsmen. Today we'll listen to selections from the London Symphony Orchestra and the John Aldus Choir's epic 3¼-hour performance of Anna Bolena in 1972 at Abbey Road Studios in London. Julius Rudell conducted the performance, which features the vocal talents of Beverly Sills, Shirley Verrett, Robert Tare, Stuart Burroughs, Patricia Kern, and Paul Plischka. Set around 1536 at Windsor Castle, we arrive now at Act One with three scenes. And in the first scene, we find ourselves in the Queen's apartments at nighttime. In her chambers, Queen Anne has become aware her star is dimming as King Henry VIII, or Enrico, is falling in love with yet another woman. Queen Anne calls in her trusted confidant and lady-in-waiting, Giovanna, or Jane Seymour, to vent her frustrations. Indeed, Queen Anne's despair has affected everyone's mood in the chamber, and she calls on her musician Mark Smeaton to play a song on his harp to bring everyone good cheer. And when he's finished, the queen says to herself that the embers of her love are still burning and that she remains unhappy in spite of her splendor. She departs for her bedroom and everyone else leaves the apartments except Jane. At this point, the king enters and he tells Jane that his love for her has grown and that she will soon be next to him at the altar and she will have a husband, a scepter, and a throne. And when he leaves, Jane worries about how her decision will affect the queen, but decides that the affair has gone too far now to stop it. The next day, Anna's brother, a surprised Lord Rochford, meets previously exiled Lord Richard Percy, who has been recalled to court. Percy asks if the rumors are true about the queen's unhappiness and that the king has changed his feelings towards her. Rochford responds that love is never content. And as huntsmen enter, Percy becomes agitated at the prospect of seeing Anna, who was his first love. The king and queen then enter and express surprise at seeing Percy. The king does not allow Percy to kiss his hand, but says that the queen has assured him of Percy's innocence. However, she also still has feelings for Percy. The king tells his officer, Hervey, to spy on both the queen and Percy at all times. Then later at Windsor Castle, close to the queen's apartments, Smeaton takes out a locket from his breast containing Anna's portrait. He has stolen it and he has come to return it. He hears a sound and hides behind a screen. The queen and Rochford enter. Rochford asks Anna to meet Percy. He then leaves, and Smeaton peeps out from behind the screen but cannot escape. Percy enters then and says that he sees that Anna is still very unhappy, and she tells him that the king now loathes her. Percy says that he still loves her. Anna tells him not to speak to her of love, and before leaving, Percy asks whether he can see Anna again, and she says no. He draws his sword to stab himself, and Anna starts to scream. In the mistaken belief that Percy is attacking Anna, Smeaton rushes out from behind the screen, and then Smeaton and Percy are about to fight, and Anna faints, and Rochford then rushes in the melee. Just then, the king also enters and sees the unsheathed swords, and summoning attendants, he says that these persons have betrayed their king, and Smeaton says that this is not true. He tears open his tunic to offer his breast to the king for slaying if he is in fact lying. The locket, however, with Anna's portrait, falls to the king's feet at that moment. And the king snatches it up. He then orders that the offenders be dragged to dungeons, and Anna, in her own horror, says to herself that her fate is at last sealed. The king has found the proof he was looking for to end their marriage. So here we are now at last at the first act and the first scene of Donizetti's Anna Bolena. Enjoy. Thank you.
Thank you. Qui vi richiama amico, den riconcenno, e al suo passaggio offrirmi quando la caccia è nuova, e mio consiglio. Dopo si lungo esilio, respirar l'aura antica e il ciel mattio, ad ogni cuore dolce, amaro al mio.
Caro per sì, mutato e duolanta così, che a ravvisarti pronto io non fossi.
Non è duolo il mio che in fronte appaia, baronato è tutto nel cor profondo. Io non ardisco, amico, della tua suora avventurare inchiesta.
Ella è regina, ogni sua gioia è questa.
E il ver parlò la fama, ella è infelice, il re mutato.
Ed un amor contento mai.
Bendici, bendici, privo di spere, come vive il mio.
S'ha messo palla,
e che tener
Thank you. Oh, crinidi e da sotto pieno siede. Il mio corte fra i cupini spero ben che rimarrete.
Questo sire per natura destinato a vita oscura mal saprei.
Come on! sopra l'ardimento mio.
Thank you.
un sol momento ti piaccia udirlo. Alcun periglio il greli correr non vuoi, ben si lo corri è grave, se fai col tuo rigore che il duol soverchi ogni ragione in lui. Stesso ricordo tuo, quel che t'avoco tanto, quel che a dare ti insegnò primiero, e non t'avorre il re. Tabore, io t'amo ancora.
alta mano in basso stato. Alta mano in basso stato.
Thank you. Oh, she's been, 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 oh, she's been Al mio sguardo appena